Welcome to our service for the second Sunday of Lent. We're still trying to work out how to respond to developments in the pandemic as the number of those infected rises sharply, but the number of seriously ill people does not seem to increase. It's fair to say that our congregations include a full range of opinion, from people who want to see all the restrictions done away with now, to people who want to keep the restrictions in place. I'm trying to listen to all points of view, but for the time being at least, these online services and CDs will continue so that we offer the widest range of choice we can. It's been a very busy week for me. This service is sometimes finished by Monday evening, but as I write this, it's Saturday morning. Needing to choose hymns very quickly, I did something I've never done before and simply chose them alphabetically, A, B, C, D. From the ones we recorded. It came up with Abide With Me, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, Kalon Lan, and Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Not a bad selection. Look out for E, F, G and H next week. I will arise and go to my Father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the Second Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion, that we may reject those things that are contrary to our profession, and follow such things as are agreeable to it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, beginning to read at the first verse. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. And then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down, it was dark. A smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A recording of Paul's letter to the churches of Philippi, chapter 3, verses 17 to chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. The end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. my beloved.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Last Saturday, the Danish footballer Christian Eriksen started his first full game since suffering a cardiac arrest on the field while representing his country. Eriksen's life was saved by the prompt reaction of his teammates and especially the team doctors, who started his heart again. He's been fitted with a pacemaker and is now signed to play for Brentford in the English Premier League. I only caught the aftermath of the incident on the day it happened. Three BBC pundits were having to fill the time in the studio without knowing how the attempt to resuscitate Eriksen was going, whether the match would continue, which unbelievably it did, and what the consequences would be if it was stopped. The three BBC people were Gary Lineker, the lead presenter, and two pundits, the English ex-internationals Alex Scott and Micah Richards. Football commentary, like everything else at the BBC, has been strictly subjected to the rigours of equal opportunities in recent years. Both Scott and Richards are black. And Scott, for those who don't know her from her more recent work on The One Show, is a female ex-footballer. But the heaviest burden fell on Lineker as the lead presenter, presumably with the director of the programme in his earpiece all the time, desperately trying to make something of what was effectively a void. He did his usual calm, professional job. The former BBC commentator John Motson once said that both as a player and as a television presenter, Lineker was the coolest operator he'd ever seen. And he was as cool as he could be expected to be in the frightening circumstances of that day. But it was a contribution of Scott and Richards which I will always remember. None of them knew what to do. There was nothing really to do, and nothing much to say. But in a reflective moment, Scott told the others and the viewers what she'd done. "I've just texted my mum to tell her I love her." It made you realise, if you'd never thought it before, what a good thing it is that we now see female presenters in this kind of role. It's hard to imagine a man reacting in that way. But that simple sentence told us first how deeply Scott had been affected by what she was watching, and secondly, that shocked and affected as she was, the natural response for her was still one of love. It was a deeply human moment, without any overblown emotion, simple feeling, simply expressed. Micah Richards' first claim to televisual fame is that he swore live on air as a player when being interviewed after scoring the late equaliser in an FA Cup game for his club Manchester City. In more recent years, he's become a regular pundit on the BBC, famous more than anything for his easy and explosive laughter. Given his Old Testament name, I've always imagined that there's some Christianity lurking in Richards's background, as there always has been in the background of so many Caribbean immigrants. Whether or not that is so, his last reaction to the Ericsson incident is one, again, which I will always remember. Lineker was winding up the first section of the programme. I think they went away for the news and then came back. And he was trying to do so in a neutral way, without giving any hostages to fortune, without suggesting that everything was going to be all right, but also without suggesting that Ericsson was going to die. But Richards intervened to make the ending more positive and said, "No, we've got to have hope. It's really important in life to be hopeful. You can never be without hope." Or words to that effect. I don't remember exactly. It wasn't the most coherent response, but it was heartfelt. And it was really revealing. Whether or not he learned it from a Christian background, it was clear that for Richards, hope is a positive and active virtue, not so much a feeling as an attitude of mind. It's often like that with the way virtues are described in the Bible. "Rejoice in the Lord always," says St. Paul. And our modern response would be, "Well, I can't be joyful if I'm not feeling happy." But the scripture says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice." And as with joy, so it is with hope. We say it sardonically, even sarcastically now, as a kind of cliche. If you hear someone say, "Oh, we live in hope," it's usually a way of saying, "Well, there's not much chance of that happening." But pause a moment and think where that phrase comes from. And you'll realise at once that it expresses a Christian truth that we may well be in danger of losing. If we call ourselves Christian people, we do indeed live in hope. Hope in the goodness of God and in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That dark day in June 2020, those two relatively inexperienced as television professionals gave me something that more careful, balanced reporting probably cannot achieve. In the face of fear and despair, they spoke for two of the great Christian virtues: the love with which Alex Scott texted her mother, and the hope without which Micah Richards insisted that life cannot be fully lived. When Christian Ericsson took the field for Brentford on Saturday, it was impossible not to be delighted for him. But it also brought back to me how much the contribution of Scott and Richards had meant that day. Amen. Time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Anthea, but we begin as usual with the Lord's Prayer. Entad, ychynoed yn y nefoedd, sancteiddi ydy enw, deled ydy ernas gwnelo ydy wychlu, smegis yn y nef ddechlu ar y ddeiar hefyd. Dydo ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwyn ni i brofedigaeth, eithau gwared ni rhag drwg. Canu seitho ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
We come now to our prayers of intercession. During this Lenten period, we pray, create a clean heart in me, O God, a humble heart, a meek heart, a peaceful heart, a benevolent heart, a devout heart, which does evil to no one, which does not repay evil for evil, but overcomes evil with good, which loves you above all things. O Christ, Son of God, For our sake, you fasted 40 days and allowed yourself to be tempted. Protect us so that we may not be led astray by any temptation. Since man does not live by bread alone, nourish our souls with the heavenly food of your word. Through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, and we begin with the universal prayer for peace. Loving God, lead us from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead us from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead us from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our heart, our world, and our universe. Amen. And the following is a prayer written by the Archbishops of Canterbury and York. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for all your precious children, at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. We pray for the millions of refugees who have been forced to flee to escape the fighting, and for the thousands who have been killed or injured. We pray for the work of Christian Aid and the other aid agencies working in this area, and support their call for an immediate ceasefire in Ukraine. We pray that the UK government will support these humanitarian efforts and will introduce policies to welcome vulnerable people fleeing the conflict. Heavenly Father, you are the source of all goodness, generosity, and love. We thank you for opening the hearts of many to those who are fleeing for their lives. Help us now to open our arms in welcome and reach out our hands in support, that the desperate may find new hope and lives torn apart be restored. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who fled persecution at his birth and at his last triumphed over death. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in these difficult times, we pray for our farmers. In the past few years, they have had to deal with the fallout from Brexit, with COVID restrictions, and are now faced with large increases in the price of fertiliser, fuel and power. Be with them as they struggle with the financial impact of the current situation. May they and their families get the help and support they need. Help us in the wider community to understand and support farmers better, valuing what they do to provide us with food. Help us to be thankful for the food they produce and not to waste it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and bereaved. Dear Lord, we hold in your presence all those known to us who are sick in mind, body, or spirit. In a moment of quiet, we name them quietly in our hearts. We also pray for those who are grieving the loss of someone dear to them. May they feel your presence with them and know that you are their strength, their healing, and their salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Clothe us in
And finally, the Lenten blessing. Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourself, daily to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.